Lord, it's amazing what you've done for us, and just to behold you, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that you gave yourself, your only Son. And we see you, Jesus, above all powers and dominions and rulers and thrones and all ages, Lord. You've sat as King forever, and you will always be King. And every king rules by their word. Your word, Lord, is the way that you bring your rule, your wonderful kingdom as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, thank you that as we come to listen this morning to the King's word, the King of Kings' word, we will accept it as the one who is ruling over us, really, and his words will have the right place in our minds and hearts. Help us not to be deceived, Lord, by thinking because we have read the word and know the word of God that we actually are practicing it. Help me, Lord, to not be deceived. And I pray, Holy Spirit, take the truth, shine your light, and make it known to each one of us this morning. We're all here because we love you, Jesus. We want to follow you. Help us, Lord, today as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read from Luke's Gospel this morning. Luke chapter 8 and we're going to begin in verse 4, and I'll stop when I stop. Maybe I won't stop. But from what I know God's put on my heart today, I think I'll stop at verse 15. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they'd come to him, that's Jesus, from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it's given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and then in a time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they've heard, they go out and are choked with riches, cares, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. The word of God, the word of Jesus. Multitudes were following him. It looked like a very, very successful time in the ministry of Jesus. Crowds were attracted, and that's because he is attractive. He does miracles, he heals people, he casts out demons, he changes life. He does amazing things, and he still is doing those amazing things today. But Jesus kind of decides to tell them a parable, which is so simple any child could get it. And it's about growing seed. And so even the children in that meeting would have gone, oh, I understand. Plant seed. We hope we get a harvest. But if it's not the right kind of soil, we know that it affects what we want to achieve. And Jesus is questioned by the disciples because the disciples by this point know that whenever Jesus tells a story, he means something else. He's not talking farming or gardening. We are not learning about farming today, and we're not learning about gardening. Okay, so you can relax if you're not a gardener, because I'm not. But he's talking about seed, soil, and different conditions, and then harvest or no harvest. And the disciples say, we don't understand. Once again, Lord, do you mind explaining? So he says he begins where everything begins, with the Word of God. Everything God does starts with the Word, or what he is describing, so we understand, as seed. Which means it begins small, but then grows and produces lots. It carries power, and actually it's God's power, not potato power. Not human power. God's power to achieve God's work. So if you don't have a word, the word of God, the good news about Jesus, the gospel, you can't be saved. The Spirit isn't just going to move and everybody gets saved. There has to be a hearing of truth, which is the word of God or the seed. Without the seed, there are no miracles, no answers to prayer. We don't know God. We don't know ourselves. We don't know anything about our lives without a word. So everything in our life and everything God does starts with the Word of God. Now, Jesus is described in Scripture as the Word, the one who, in the beginning with God, spoke creation, and it was. And so nothing happened that God wanted to happen without him speaking his word. And Jesus upheld and honored the word, Scripture, and actually fulfilled what is written, which we call our Bible, or we call Scriptures, the word of God. Jesus, every word, he said, heaven and earth might pass away, but nothing of my word will ever pass away. And Jesus said and intimated all the way through his life that everything in life is subject to change, except God and his word, because his word is as unchangeable as God. Can I say that again? His word, the Bible, Scriptures, are as unchangeable as God. We know we can't change God, don't we? Do we? Do you know you can't change God? Can't change his will. You can't change what he says because it's already written. And we can actually know what he says if we know the word of God. But everything is subject to change in a changing world. there are unchangeable things we can rely on. Primarily the Word of God and God Himself. And Jesus came as the Word made flesh, made human, and He dwelt among us. And He actually revealed the Father and everything He said and did. He was the Word lived out. God Himself lived out. And so Jesus is saying, you can't see God do anything in your life without a seed, the Word. We're here for a move of God, aren't we?
Yes. Yes.
Begins with a seed, what God says. Because then the Spirit will move wherever there is seed planted, wherever there is seed sown. And Jesus gives this image, which in that day would have been understandable, of a farmer, you know, and they used to have a bag of seed over their shoulder, walking along, throwing out seed. And this morning he's walking along. I've just read, thrown the seed out. That's just what's happened. God has sown seed. His Word. Now the seed is perfect, flawless, always works, always works, always achieves the results in the right soil. This is why it's a secret that you need to know. It's a secret he's letting you in on. I love secrets. Let me tell you a secret. God's work will word will work. But it's a matter of the condition of the heart that determines the outcome. It's a matter of the heart. That's what Jesus is teaching. And he begins to describe different conditions, because the soil, Jesus is saying, is the heart. He's kind of opening the curtains, this time not, well, on who he is, the Word, but he's actually opening the curtains on our hearts. Is anybody like, he's going like, let's have a look then. What we got? Let me just describe you, because you can't. God can. Have you ever tried to describe what's going on in your heart? You've got no idea, actually. But God says, here we are, let me describe it. So curtains are open, disciples. You've asked to know, and I'm going to tell you. Maybe you didn't even ask this morning, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And I think also what we understand about Jesus, he's looking for fruit. Do we understand that? Do you get that? What's Jesus want? What does a farmer want? What does a gardener want? If you've got an allotment, what do you want? An allotment? You want to produce something. You don't just say, walk around, I've got an allotment. I've got an allotment. I've got an allotment. But you get nothing from it. And Jesus is saying, actually, I'm looking for results. By this my Father is glorified, Jesus said, when you bear much fruit. Fruit of what? Fruit of the seed, which is the Word of God. All the promises. I love to think of this, you know. Imagine this is me before I came to know Jesus and accepted Jesus. Independent, sinner, unforgiven, outside all the blessing of God, far away from God, going to hell. That was me. But then I heard the truth of God's Word, the message about what Jesus did for me on the cross and the resurrection. And I received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you know what happened? I was included in Christ. So now I'm a new person. The old has gone, the new has come. Now I'm in Christ, he lives in me, and because he died to give me an inheritance. You know, when somebody dies, they usually leave a will. This is his will. You've got to read the will to know what's left to you. It's called a rich inheritance. Okay, every promise is yes. In Christ. In the scriptures, I will find out what belongs to me, what he wants in my life, how I can glorify him and bear fruit. I can find out everything through the word. And I've got a personal teacher called the Holy Spirit who guides me into truth. And not just that, we've also got something called the church, where there are those who God has anointed to teach and equip the saints so that we don't go off on one that we think we're right and everybody else is wrong and be deceived. So he's given me a new life, a new heart, all the promises to understand him, to know him, to walk out his plan for my life. And it's all in here. But I don't need it just here. I want it in here. I understand the seed in my brain. My brain, my head needs changing. My mind needs renewing. But actually my brain won't produce. It's my heart that Jesus sows, the center, the depth of me. And he's like, I want to drop my seeds. Promises, my will, my plan, my purpose into your heart so that it grows up and bears much fruit. So Jesus says, let's start, guys. Open the curtains on why. Why can you sow the word and actually in this condition it's by the wayside. They're as hard as the road. Concrete. And he's talking about a heart that is saying, nope, I reject God's word. I reject that. I don't believe it. Because a good heart says, I accept it. I receive it. In other words, it goes in. A wayside heart is a concrete heart that says, whatever, don't care. I'll keep my own ways, my own ideas about this, and rock-like, okay, so or wayside-like, so heart. So that's one condition, which of course, if you imagine seed just sitting on the surface, imagine planting seed on the A38. The birds go, yummy, let's take that, because there's another personality at work when the word is being preached called Satan. And the very last thing Satan wants is for the word to go in. He's happy if there's concrete, because he knows he can take that. And that heart loses the chance, actually, to be saved. Okay, so we've got Satan working, but Jesus is saying, he's wanting to say, let's talk about the heart, the matter of the heart. Let's talk about the real issues as to why things don't work, when my word will always work, provided there are the right conditions. And secondly, he goes on about the rocks, and he says, in a time of temptation or testing, you could say of trouble, I've seen plants, haven't you, that are planted in shallow soil. And you know that underneath is rock. We don't always know there's rock underneath, do we? In my own heart. I thought, hello? Because I look at the topsoil. Oh, well, there's enough soil there. I'd be all right, plant it. Sometimes it's a hidden thing. that is like going to resist the word going deeper. And so Jesus says, when the seed comes, the word of God comes, they receive it with joy. This is a heart thing. It's shallow soil. It's a shallow heart. But they go, brilliant! I'm saved. Brilliant! God has said. Or I accept what God says with joy. But then a test comes. Has anybody ever been tested? Okay, let me tell you, you will be. Because it's normal Christian life. Where challenges come and tests come. And even, you know that there are challenges to the very depths of you as, will you follow Jesus when it's not so nice? Has anybody got that test? Or had that test? It's not so nice. It's not easy. You see, there are 3 out of 4 conditions that are inhospitable to the word in some way. 3 out of 4 are inhospitable to the word. The shallow believers, because they did believe, suddenly find life a bit more difficult and don't want this walk with anymore. They say, no, don't want it. Don't want what God's saying. Don't want this kind of, I just was here for blessing. Aren't you? I'm just here to be blessed. Now, Jesus is teaching God's ways produce God's blessing. But sometimes when trouble comes, we can get angry, fed up, blame, fight, trying to get out of a paper bag. Get me out of this. And Jesus said, the good heart, if you think about the good heart, when tests come and troubles come, they just go deeper. They run to Jesus, not away. Because they know that only Jesus can give them the ability to be sustained in trouble and tests. And that if they hunker down in God, he will prove himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. He will show himself strong. But the shallow believers, Jesus said, when they hit trouble, they get going. Jesus had a huge following. And some people really gave up a lot to follow Jesus, you know. Not just the 12 disciples or all the women that were part of his following and being real disciples. Some people went so far, and then Jesus started to talk about stuff I don't like him. I've had this in my own life. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have stuff. I don't quite like that word. You mean I can't have life as I want it? Really? I've had those challenges. And they said to Jesus, this is too hard for us. You're making life, the Christian life, too difficult. Now, as a pastor, I've heard that a lot. You can change your church, but you can't change the word. Right. You can change your church, but you can't change the word. You can vote in your synods, decide in your democracies. But it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the life and the mouth of God. Sorry. And so some have, in fact, lots of those people said, this is too hard for us, actually. I'm off. They turned, they walked away. And I think to myself, just think, Jesus in person is there. Perfect ministry. Like if they had the best. And they still walked. Jesus said, it's because of the open the curtains heart. Because some people have self at the center and not Jesus at the center. And they run away when the tough comes. Peter, when everybody walked away, Jesus looked at those that were left. I can't imagine this, that the Lord of glory, the one who's the most beautiful, most wonderful person anyone could ever know. Can I just describe him a little bit in this context? There's nobody like Jesus. He's perfect. He's flawless. Jesus looked, I think probably like, well, Lord, I know I'm not the problem, Father. Jesus would have said to his dad, his heavenly Father, I'm not the problem. Because he's not ever the problem. Learn that one quick. Good one to catch quickly. God's never the problem, nor is his teaching. He'd have gone, just you. And he looks at them and you'd think he'd be like, oh, guys, I love you for staying. Thanks so much. Just give me a hug. Give me a hug. I feel like I was feeling ever so insecure then. Oh, thank God you're still here. Jesus never did that. He said, do you want to go as well? Do you want to walk away at this more difficult point? And Peter, because these are the hearts that stay. These are the hearts that are good hearts. Do you know what Peter said? Who can I go to? Like I'm ruined. I'm ruined for Jesus. I can't go to anyone else. I can tell you from my heart this morning, no one else has the words of eternal life. That's what Peter was saying. How? You make it tough, that's for sure. But I can't leave you. That's what Peter was saying, not, oh, life's a breeze, I'm chilling. It's like same condition, same word for Peter as well as all of them. But Peter went, I can't go anywhere else. You died for me. That's what's going to be the revelation for Peter. You gave everything for me. You, the Son of God, left heaven and came down to save me from sin, separating from me from relationship with God. I've been forgiven. I've been restored. I am healed in my heart. My whole life may not be perfect, but I can't go anywhere. And so a smaller crowd kept following, because they were following his teaching, not just his presence. Not a worship service, this. It was harsh. It was difficult teaching. But the good heart and the shallow heart is seen in that little picture in the Gospels. I said to the Lord, sometimes I don't think I can go on, but I want to. Help me. Has anybody been there? So I'm really honest with the Lord. When things get tough, I go, I'm finding this ever so difficult, Lord. But you know my heart, I really want to. Help. I set my will to follow, but give me the power to do it. Change my don't really want to, I really want to. And he's changed so many in my life of I really don't want to I really want to's. It's a work of God's grace. But I haven't walked away in the tough times. I run to Jesus. I've learned that actually he's my solution. He's not the one who sent the bad. He's only got good. I'm convinced by his goodness. Oh, but then we have those old thorns. This is the third that doesn't produce fruit. Third condition. And I think these are the most prevalent in today's church. Of course not here. I don't know your heart, God does eat. I'm trusting you'll know your own as you're listening. These thorns. I have a garden. Not nice. It's not my thing. Ruddy brambles. I love picking blackberries, but not in my garden. It's fine on the hedgerows, but I don't want it in my garden. And do you know, I'm particularly lazy with gardening. I've got other things to do, so I look at those briars that always, if I mow in my little lawn, I've only got a little one, and you know, a little hover. If I brush against those thorns, it scratches me, and I don't like them. So I just get, actually, I use the wrong instrument to cut them back. So I've got a hedge trimmer, and I go, but you know what? They grow back. I'd never get rid of them. And there's this picture of a garden that has been completely taken over. If I didn't use my hedge trimmer, my heart would be like that. Taken over by thorns. If I didn't do something about it. And so Jesus says, look, I want you guys to really see the secret here. And he says, the worries and cares of this life. Oh, can't you just be so consumed with day? What's in your day? What are your concerns? If you're a busy mom or business person or your job is very demanding and you've got a young family and, oh, can't you just be overtaken by life? Yes, absolutely. Not just worries, yeah. Concerns. If you love your family, when things go wrong, you'll be like, oh no. If you love anyone, you'll be caring and concerned. And so the thing about the heart that doesn't produce, it has probably a promise in there about do not worry about your life. Cast your cares, this is a promise, cast all your cares onto Jesus because he cares for you. So you've got a really nice seed, word from God growing. But alongside that are these brambles, which is a bit of worry. And the soil, the heart, is having to use all its energy to grow both kinds of seed. Worry and word. And you know what happens if you've got worry and word in? The worry eventually strangles, chokes the word in your heart. Which is why worry has to be got rid of. And our distractions for life in general, if they take over, not Jesus and his kingdom. Jesus said, the answer for worry, provision, is seek first the kingdom of God. And then he says, guess what? If you do that, your Heavenly Father will provide every good thing you need. Your Heavenly Father, in other words, don't just pray about it. Do something different. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Isn't Jesus a brilliant teacher on the heart? Because he knows we won't see the miracles if we're focused on everything else but his kingdom. Or even the other things are actually in competition, growing up together with his word. I must press on and continue in the word because there's a lot here, isn't there? Now, a good heart says, oh, God has always, always taken care of me. I trust him. When I could be worried, I could be diverted away from a focus on Jesus and his plan. I'm going to trust him that he'll provide. I'll put God first and he'll take care of the rest. I'll put God first. That's a good heart. I'll continue to follow Jesus. That's a good heart. And that's the heart that bears the results of all things are added. That's the heart that sees miraculous provision flowing into your life. I won't put my family first. I won't put my job first. I won't put money first. I won't put things first. I'll put God first. And then he's going to make sure that he provides for everything. It's always first with God. I've decided if he's saying anything to his church, he says, first, God. Everything else, down the list. First, God, in your daily life. First, God, in your decisions and planning. First, God, in your prayer life, in the way you raise a family. First, go to the Word and find out. Get a seed for everything. Then there are these desire for other things. You know, this balance with this things. It's interesting that Jesus says, all things will be added, things, when you seek first the kingdom. So he's not against things. Tell somebody next to you, I'm really glad he's not against things. But it's desire for things that's the problem. That can be producing, strangling, is growing up and strangling the good seed. Desire for other things. There's a great blindness that comes on our lives when we know that God is a God who wants to bless people. And that's the truth. It's in the Word. God loves to bless people. He came to give life and life in all its fullness. Okay, so we need to balance this with the whole counsel of God. So we're not like monks or nuns who sit with nothing. Just give me a crust and I'll be okay. God is a God who blesses. But quite honestly, if we desire blessing above him, there's something wrong in the heart. If our motive is to be blessed, there's something wrong. That's what Jesus is saying. It's a thorn, and it will strangle your spiritual life, your joy, your zeal for God, the zeal for the things of God. You won't be excited about praying or reading the Bible. You'll just be so cold, but you'll go to church. But on the inside, when we look on the inside, you're actually, oh God, praying about it all the time. Give me that. Lord, provide. Oh, I just need my needs met. Everything now. My God will supply all your needs, Scripture says. But not all your wants. Not all your wants. I've decided to leave it with God as to how he's going to bless me. Because I know my own heart will get it wrong. So I trust him and follow him and say, Lord, you're going to bless me anyway. I just trust you. But I'll just devote myself to doing whatever you ask of me, and you'll provide. But you see, prosperity, and I call it covetousness. So that's what Jesus or God calls it. I always want something else. I always want bigger, more, better, larger. I always want more. Isn't that the society we're in? Not the culture of the church, I trust, but the culture of the world. I always want more. And God is a prosperity God. It's true. His way. We're not all going to be Abrahams in the room. Can I just say that? Abraham was rich. There might be a few. If you have the heart and you go through the testings. Because he'd rather have you than give you blessing. He's come to save you, not just to give you everything you want. He's a good father, by the way. Good fathers don't give their kids everything they want, do they? Have we noticed that? Really good dads say, nah, not happening. You're not having that. And somehow we change this relationship with God the Father and we say, just give me, give me, give me. All our prayers are, give me, give me, give me. Rather than, not my will, yours be done, but I thank you that in seeking first your will, your kingdom, I'll see the blessing and I'll see the fulfillment and the provision. I've noticed something, you know, when people have a dissatisfaction on the inside, you know what happens? They're just never happy. How about being happy now? Today. Can I give you a challenge? Has God saved you from sin and hell? Are you happy? How about, yes, hallelujah, being happy with the people you're with? Who are you married? No, I mean it. Discontent. Do you know what happens with that thing? Thorns grow up and destroy marriages. They destroy love in the body of Christ. They separate brothers and sisters. Discontent with my church. Discontent with my life. Discontent with the worship. Discontent with the building. Discontent with the pastor. Thing is, I can be discontent with me too. But sometimes I just need to step back and say, do you know what, Lord? I'm just grateful. I'm so thankful today I'm saved. You know, we were talking before the meeting and praying. We talked together and I said, I'm so thankful for church today. Now I love rugby. England are probably whooping the competition on the field. But I'm a worshipper of God, not rugby. And I said, I'm so happy I'm here, Lord, not watching the rugby. Why? Because my desire for rugby is a bit further down the list than my desire for Jesus. And so I've got it on record. Thank God for record. Because I can get to see it and nobody in this room can tell me the score. You, Sam, we agree. Do not tell Sam. Do not tell a rugby fan, Andy, whoever. Mark, Ben, don't say anything. Or unless you're on your phone. In which case, desire for other things is still coming in. Things aren't wrong, but they're wrong if they have you. Your marital status is, you know, God may have planned different things for your life. But to be totally dissatisfied with where you are, with your kids, your wife, your job, your money, your job. Paul said an amazing secret. This man who was the pursuer of God, I have learned to be content in all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've learned to be content. Shall we learn that one? Today? Shall we be happy? Anybody want to be happy today? This great salvation. I'm happy. I've got all of this. He left it in his will. I couldn't be more blessed. Today, it's all mine. Oh, happy day, happy day. Wash my sins away. Oh, happy day. Not another day at church. It's another day with Jesus. And it's another day with his people. We love the people of God. I love the saints. I absolutely love the saints. I mean, I've got a bit of a job like Jesus to kind of expose a few weeds and thorns and rocks. And, you know, it's a ministry. It's a ministry, you know. We're here to rescue people from shallowness, to try and see people saved from thorns. Because I've had them, I can relate. Things have been competing. And God has had to deal with that. But things aren't bad in themselves. Okay, story. I've nearly finished, by the way. We're nearly at the good heart. We're going to get to the good one. It's going to be not much longer. So, by some miracle of God's grace, you know, when I first left to follow Jesus and pursue God and whatever he had for my life, I had no idea it would be this. But I was pursuing the Lord because I love him. I gave up my house. I gave up my income. And I went to no salary, no income, no home. But I had a call. Jesus was calling me just to follow him and obey his voice. And I don't know, so by some miracle of God's grace, I currently have a house. God has given me a property back. I've still got a bit of mortgage to pay, but I've got a place I can call home. I rented for years or lived in other people's houses, but I've got a place to call my own. It's wonderful. I can't be moved. So many times with rentals, you know, somebody says, we've decided to sell, and you'd be like, oh, gosh, we've got to find somewhere else to live. And, you know, there was always the challenges that come with being in rental. But I wasn't confident that God was going to give me a house. I was happy to serve without a house. I'm happy to go without for Jesus. If that's my condition, that's how I live. You know, then there's nothing wrong with renting. Sometimes it's a wise move. It just depends on your life. It's unique, your walk. But anyway, I have my house and kind of did some rooms up, and for years we've lived with the same carpet. Okay, now this carpet is an ugly carpet. To my embarrassment, threadbare on the steps, on the stairs up, and in my bedroom. I love my bedroom. They're nice. It's an older property. It's bigger rooms. My bedroom, moth-eaten. Moths. Don't you hate them? God made them. I'll get rid of them. Anyway, it wasn't very successful. So, you know, they've chewed at the corners and threadbare carpet. And so I said, Lord, you know, I'm not poor. God, I'm blessed. Okay, so I'm not saying I'm poor. But we have to save sometimes in life, don't we? So I said, Lord, you know, with other priorities, I couldn't do that for a while, but a little bit of money came in, and then I started to save towards thinking, vision for carpets. Okay, so I had this vision for a carpet, a desire for a carpet. But I can tell you honestly, I wasn't saying, God, give me a carpet. The desire didn't overtake me. I was serving the Lord. I wasn't praying for a carpet. I promise you, I never prayed for a carpet. I said, Lord, I trust you. Money's going to come in for whatever. And if it stays bare till I go to glory, it stays bare. Who cares? It's a carpet. Anyway, I've just had new carpets. Okay, so I want to tell you about my carpet. Oh, it's so nice. It's plush. It bounces when you walk on it. I'm doing a lot of walking up and down my room going, I just go upstairs to go, look at that. I've got a carpet. Literally, I walk around thanking Jesus for my carpet. Or as soon as I go upstairs, I go, thank you for the carpet, Lord. So I've got this kind of, can't believe it. To be honest, I'm being serious. It's such a joy to me. I'm spending a bit more time looking at it. Okay, so I'm here. I sit a bit longer. If I have a cup of coffee, I pop up to my room and go, because it's so nice. But I didn't ring Pastor Andy this morning and say, I just need to look at my carpet. I'm not coming in. I feel I just need to re-hoover it, manicure it, ensure that it stays perfect. And, well, God's given it to me, so why don't I just sit and look at it and enjoy it? The carpet isn't taking over my life. Might sound like it this morning, but it isn't. And isn't it interesting? Some people are never satisfied with what they don't have, and then when they're giving something, they just want to spend all their time on it, not on the kingdom. And that's why we have to watch our hearts. Is my heart really, truthfully, because you can't lie to God. He knows everything that's in there. Rocks, thorns, good seed, he knows the lot. Just don't lie to yourself, because you'll deceive yourself. And the truth won't be in you. And you'll lose the life of God with thorns, desire for other things, deceitfulness of riches. You know, I've seen too many people need God when they don't have money. But when money comes in, they walk away. And they just literally spend all their lives enjoying stuff. Thank God you're here today. You're not with the stuff. You're in the right place today. Just celebrate that. You're not with the stuff. You're not consumed by other things. You're not kind of saying, oh, well, we can afford to go away, do this, do that. You're where God has called you to be. Celebrate it. Because that's a good heart. And there is a sacrifice, isn't there, to being in church. You could talk to anybody in this room. You have to still get up in the morning when the rest of the world's in bed. If you've got kids, it's even more. We think, you know, if you haven't got kids, you think, oh gosh, we've got to get up and, you know, go and worship the Lord. But with kids, some of you, I go, hallelujah, salute. Hallelujah, salute. They come in, I salute you. Why? Because they're like, oh, I need a wee. Oh, the nappy's dirty. Oh, gosh. This is real. But their hearts are saying, we will worship. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we celebrate it. It's a good heart. A good heart. Can I tell you about good hearts? It does have weed attack occasionally. It's okay. We can deal with weeds. Now, I have discovered a product called Resolver. Is anybody? Here we are. Resolver. Weed killer. Can you see where it hits? It's not my snipping off the bramble. It goes to the root. It kills the thorns. Oh, I remember when I discovered this product, I put my marigolds on. Got my marigolds on. Because I'm quite convinced you shouldn't have that stuff on your skin. Or breathe it in. Because it's nasty. So I got that. So I walked to the weed and I went, right, no more. You're not going to do this anymore. I had a weed attack moment. And I went, And you know the advert for Resolver. You know what it is, don't you? They're crawling along the path. Everything that pops up, they... See, we've got to be like that with as Christians. Anything that pops up, I'm resolved to deal with you. I'm not having you in my life because I want the fruit that Jesus wants out of my life. So I'm going to guard my heart like a well-planted, well-nourished garden that's only going to produce for the Lord. That's a good heart. It's resolved to deal with weeds. Oh, I just want to finish with this because this is... put your seatbelts on. That's all I can say. Put your seatbelts on right now. You'll need them. Have you ever thought about Peter and Judas as followers? Has anybody ever thought? We know Judas is famous, isn't he? You can ask the world, they even use you, Judas, when somebody betrays somebody. So it's kind of, everybody thinks, you wouldn't call your child Judas. Not if you know what you're talking about. Because it's got a negative thing to it. But at the time, before he did what he did, he was one of the early, they left all to follow. He had exactly the same as Peter. Same teaching, same word, same opportunity, same relationship, same closeness. Oh, this is what really got me. That's why I needed my seatbelt on. But a desire for other things crept in. A thorn started to grow. He started to look at the offering. His desire was money that was God's, belonged to God. Wasn't his. And so he was looking at the offering. Because he was the treasurer. Jesus knows everything. He would have known that he was the treasurer. I think there's a bit of a test going on. And but Jesus always knew. Can you believe Last Supper? He's sitting there. He's stolen from the offering, from God, what belonged to God. He despised the worship of that woman who brought an extravagant gift. He began to judge and criticize others. Do you know you've got stuff going on in your heart when you do that? Do you know that it's you that Jesus is saying has got a problem? Not them. And you know, he never sought forgiveness. He didn't say sorry. Peter, on the other hand, is a bit like, I think, a lot of us in this room. Messed up. He got it wrong. He failed. But he always came back and went, sorry. He got weed killer in. He got rid of those conditions in his heart. And he said, I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm here. I'm back. You see, you can have things that make you cold and make you kind of shift your place in fellowship with God. But there is a way back, and it's through forgiveness. Jesus offers forgiveness to every single person who wants it. Who will say, I am sorry. Judas opened the door to Satan. And scripture says, Satan entered his heart. But, you know, over time, it had been going on in the hidden. So Jesus says, it's actually about his heart, not about what Satan did. Do you understand that? So all of us, you could say, in this room are listening to the same word. Including me. We're all under the word. I'm hoping more than three quarters. I've prayed for you, it'll be all of us. We'll all be the quarter. We'll all be the good heart. We've known times when we've messed up. We've known times when we've criticized somebody. Or we've had bad stuff, competing stuff, desire for other things that we're even lying to ourselves about. But you know, a good heart says, do you know, Lord, I want to deal with that. I want to put it right. Because more than anything, I want to be there at the end. I don't just want to be saved at the beginning. I want to be saved to the end. Because the thorns, do you know what happened with the thorns? They took the life completely out of the good seed. No fruit. And Jesus says once again, by their fruit, you know them. Isn't he a master? I feel like I've been on the operating table with this word. And maybe you have. If not, I will pray for you. Because the word reveals everything. Jesus is saying, I can show you why you're not getting answers to prayer. I can show you why you're not seeing the fruit of this and that. I can show you your issues. But will you take action and deal with them? I want super bloom. I believe we are in days of outpouring. In the last few months, it may not be a great amount to you, but we've seen four people, if not more actually with young people, being saved. There are so many good things happening in this church and through you as believers. We've got some amazing, radical, good-hearted people who are following Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. But in the end, it will come down to you. Not the church. Not even my preaching. I know I'm not the best preacher. You go online and hear something better. I know you do. So do I. I can hear better than... But it's not about that. It's about his word. And it's about what he's saying about hearts. And I know that on the inside, we all really want what Jesus wants. But we've got to then deal with thorns. We've got to be radical. And not kind of indifferent. I am fairly indifferent with my garden at home. Oh, that's growing again. I'll get that. Let's have a go, see if we can. Actually, it's not petrol. It's one of those weak electric things, but I wish it was a petrol. I could get a whole lot more done. You should see, I'd be able to trim those hedges. But anyway, oh, it's the heart, Jesus is saying, and it's yours. You limit God or you release God. And, oh gosh, I'm being very real with you this morning. In my kitchen this week, I said, Lord, if only I was dealing with a situation in the church, a person in the church, if only that wasn't here, they'd be a whole lot happier. Can't you change? Make it more accommodating? I mean, they'd fit in. They would say, they say they'd stay. They'd say they'd go on. Could you not make it slightly easier? And then I laughed and said, your Lord. Sometimes I have to remind people of the tough stuff. Because it's God's stuff. Not my word. His. It is written. Don't even have to pray about what's written. No. Oh, you know the super spits, super spirituals. They have to pray about everything. Well, I'll pray about that. Oh, no, I need to pray about that. Go into all the world. I'll pray about that. Make disciples of all. Oh, I'll pray. I'll pray about that. Heal the sick. Pray. I'll pray. Raise the dead. I'll pray about that. And so they're praying about everything and doing nothing. And Jesus says, the person who builds a house on the rock are those who hear my word and put it into practice. They're the ones, when the storms of life come, they'll stand. Thank God for his word. How are you out there? Did you need your seatbelt? Did you see your heart? Is Jesus shining his word? Because it's what he does, not what I do, that matters. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's been long, but good, hey? Tell somebody next to you, that was good for me today. Say, I'm going to get some Holy Spirit Resolver. I'm going to deal with my weeds so that what he does, his word, will truly accomplish everything he sends it to do. Every word of God is full of power, but I understand it's down to me. The attitudes and the thoughts and the conditions of my heart. So, are you worried and consumed with life? Let's just pray. If you are, come to Jesus. Say, Lord, I refuse to allow this weed to grow up and rob actually every good thing you've planned for me. Help me not be deceived by my own heart, Father. Just pray that. Help me not to think something's of you when it's of me. Let your word shine a light in my heart to separate out what's of you and what's of me. Help me not to fall in love with a blessing, but to fall in love with you, Jesus. And to keep in love with you. To keep you as my priority. Lord, when tough times come, I pray. And I ask for your help to run to you, not away from you. If that's you, if you're in a tough time, you're hearing the Lord this morning. Run to Jesus. Deepen your relationship with his word. Your attitude to his word is your attitude to God. Did you hear that? Your attitude to his word is your attitude to God. You love him as much as you love his word. Say, Lord, I come. I know I need help. And I know that my heart can get cold, competitive with other things, and can actually grow things that shouldn't be there. Help me to see and recognize those things. And I pray they'll never take over your work in my life.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.